Let's chat from Poland, shall we? Hey there, it's Monica here, Monica in Missouri Podcast, and I am chatting with you from my parents' house in Poland, where I am visiting for the second time in 2024, and it is only April. First of all, this is going to be a bunch of random thoughts about Poland, America, 20 years in the United States, although 20 will be in September, and I'm sure I'm going to talk about it again. But this episode will resonate with you if you are someone who's interested about in the differences and about an immigrant experience. And this might resonate with you if you are also an immigrant or specifically a Polish immigrant. And if you just care to learn about experiences from different perspectives, perhaps it will allow you to appreciate what you have and also see the experience or the reality of being elsewhere. All right. So the first thing that I want to say is that many Polish folks in Europe are asking me if I would like to come back. And this is a random question, and I get it all the time, and especially from people kind of in a town, like around town, former colleagues from school, and people who just lived around being like, so what, are you coming back? And it is a silly, redundant, and just completely taken out of context question. Because the truth is that I have been living in America for the last 20 years, and I was born in Poland and lived here for 21 years. So it's not half and half, but let's face it, I have lived as a conscious, thinking, working, and being and functioning in a society adult over there in the United States for way more than here. And there are things that I am very much Americanized with, and there are things that I very much appreciate about Poland. And we'll talk about it. But to ask someone, when are you coming back? Or, oh, are you coming? Oh, did you come back now? Is it for good? It's just silly. It is just silly, silly, silly. So that's one. Let's get that one out of the way. Number two. For many of my people who watch me on social media, what I do is a little crazy and excessive. And let me tell you, this is a proof and a testament to the fact that you can change yourself and change your identity and change who you are being and therefore what you're doing and what you're having. Remember, be, do, and have. Because Monica from back in the day didn't think that traveling was in the books for her, in the cards for her. You know how people say, what's in store for me? Which is the dumbest thing ever to say, because there's no store and you're not buying anything and your future is not located in some imaginary store. It is located in your mind through your beliefs, thoughts, words, actions that you're going to have your future. So old Monica did not see traveling as a feasible possibility for her. It was just not a possibility at all. As I was working as a personal trainer in the gym, I had 2 weeks vacations, 2 weeks of vacations, 14 days a year. I worked 6 days a week. And here's the thing, I love my work. And actually being here really made me realize how much I love my work, because I was just talking to my sister-in-law about this. I want to spend time with my family. I want to spend time with my niece, whom I haven't seen in a long time, and this is the reason why I came here. I want to spend time with my parents. I want to walk around. I want to do all the things. Also, I don't want to be sleep deprived, which I usually am sleep deprived here, so I take care of my sleep here as well this time around. However, I am annoyed that I am not having or getting or there's no way to have the same amount and quality time to work as I have in the United States. And I literally said to my sister-in-law, I'm realizing how much I enjoy and love my work, because I'm annoyed that I cannot do it. It's not something that I wanted to escape from or that I don't want to do because I'm traveling. I actually crave it, I want it. It's not out of fear. It's not out of guilt. It's not out of anxiety. It's just something that I enjoy doing. It is my fulfillment. It is creative. It is fun. It is fulfilling, and therefore I don't like not having it. So I was like, I would like to have 5 manakas. One is spending time with my brother and his sons, and then the other one spending time with my niece, and the third one spending time with my parents, and the fourth one is exercising, walking, and doing all the things outside, and the fifth one is working. That's what I'd like, but obviously I'm just the only one person, and so I'm balancing and juggling all the things. And it's tricky. So back to, not the beginning, but the middle. Old Monica didn't see traveling as something feasible for her. She was working in the gym. She was getting barely any vacation. And we got the vacation for 14 days. And then you got paid, I don't know, some funny money. Like literally funny money. I think it was about $90 a day. And yes, sure, it was years ago, 10 years ago or so. But it was just ridiculous. It was something that you couldn't even cover my rent at that time. So I knew that I wanted to be free. Free from being stuck at a studio or a gym. So I created that, and then also the kind of work environment in which it is feasible for me to travel and work elsewhere, and therefore this is how I am here now, and I can travel. And I know that for some of you who have regular jobs or even your businesses, and you are attached to a place, to a schedule, to a boss, to a company, and you are told what you can and cannot do, it is extra, or it is crazy, or it is a lot, or it's unnecessary what I do. And to me, it's just, I'm completely immersed in, I do what I want. And I worked for it, not only on my mentality, but also creating the kind of business and life that allowed me for what I'm doing right now. But let me be clear with you. It does not start with business and with a life. It starts with the mindset, with the beliefs, with what you're telling yourself about yourself and what's possible for you. So be very mindful of what you are telling yourself about what you want and about the options that you have. And when you are saying to yourself that you cannot have something, trust and believe you will not have that thing. So you have to start thinking newly. You have to start believing newly. You have to tell yourself new stories. Listen, it takes the same amount of effort to tell yourself a disempowering story of what you cannot do and to tell yourself the empowering story of what you can do. I don't know why it is that so often people tell themselves stories that are worst case scenario. Everything will fail, and they will fail, and people will laugh at them, and the business will fail, and the idea will fail, and they cannot have it, and they're a loser, and they cannot be it, and they cannot do it. Why? Make up a new story. Make up a better story. So that's that. Being here also came with, again, lots of questions from people. And this time online, because I haven't seen any people in person, because I'm avoiding spending too much time outside, just being outside during the day. I spent the time with my niece, and then I go out and take walks and do things outside after dark when she's sleeping. And so, as I'm recording this close to midnight right now, and so I haven't seen people in person, but online, when I praise the food and the family time and the safety, people are asking, Monica, would you come back? No, the answer is no, absolutely not. I love the food. I love the ability to walk everywhere. I love obviously spending time with my family. I love the familiarity of this place. I love just the memories and the connection with the earth, the ground, the place, like feeling this deep appreciation to this place that made me who I am, the people who raised me and made me who I am, and just the history. It's not something that's present in the United States. Even just going around my little town and making little videos and snaps that I'm going to use for reels, of the town, of the old market, of the buildings, all these buildings have so much history. I look at them and I see the generations from 100 years ago that lived there. I see the people, I see the history, I know the history. And so it is moving, it is grounding, it's very grounding going to the cemetery and seeing the graves of my ancestors and all the other people, and how people are connected to each other and connected to the place and connected to just a simple life here of, you know, being born, going to school, getting married, having kids, and doing the same cycle for them. And it's beautiful. But I didn't choose it for myself for a reason, and I cannot imagine now coming back here at 41, unmarried, no kids, and trying to insert myself into a society that will see me as an outsider, for sure, absolutely. Now I'm cool because I'm the American single lady, but if I was to settle here, this would be uncool. However, I don't care. I don't care for what, you know, I don't care about what people would think about me. But the thing for me is that what I want to do and how I want to do it and with whom I want to do it, it is not here. I have some visions for what I want for myself going forward and my life, and it is not being here. Now, of course, being here regularly, spending time with my family, and what I've done in the last 2 years, and that is being here however I feel like coming here every 3 months. And now I was here 7 weeks ago. I was here 7 weeks ago, and I'm here again. I have the freedom financially, time-wise. My health is phenomenal, so I can afford it health-wise because it is a 20-hour trip one way and then 20-hour trip the other way. And I can do it, and I do it, but I cannot imagine living here. And maybe when you're an immigrant, you also feel this way, where your heart is a little bit torn between two places. However, I am not in this position, not anymore. I used to not feel home anywhere. But it wasn't until I found my true fulfillment through what I do professionally, and I know that I have to be a certain place with certain people, around certain people, and the coming goals, the plans that I have, and the visualizations, and the things that I am calling towards me, because I am not only seeing it with the eyes of my imaginations, what I'm going to be doing next. I imagine the people, I speak to the people, I visualize what I want for myself and my life and whom I want to help and whom I want to partner with. And I speak to these people. I know that they're over there in the United States. They're not here. The mentality of people here is very different. And I don't want to say anything derogatory because it's not about comparing. It's just different. People here are not as open-minded. I can see that for some, even talking about my work, it just sounds like science fiction. What is she doing? She's teaching physical education on Zoom, on via computer. You're like, what? And the comments people make, you know, such as, oh, I wouldn't want to be seeing my face all the time, every day on Reels. That's a wrong focus. It's not about me seeing my face on Reels. It is about whom I'm helping with what. Who needs to hear something that I have to say to them? What kind of knowledge and wisdom I've accumulated that I want to share with the people? It's not about me and seeing myself on video. That would be so basic. That would be so selfish. That would be so just such a simple way of looking at things. And so for folks who go to work and work at the store or own the store, work as a car mechanic, or perhaps work as a teacher, or work as a director of the school, or work as an accountant, or work as a nutritionist, or own the spa, or perhaps teach soccer for kids or adults, people who own sorts of different sorts of businesses. What I do is very far ahead, if you will. Working online for yourself, creating content, it's, they don't know where to place me. I'm not a YouTube influencer because they have those here as well. I'm not a TikToker. Which is silly because these people usually here are 19 and 18 years old and I'm 41. So I'm not that, but I'm a little bit of that for them. And then I own my business, but I don't own a brick and mortar. I coach people, but for them, it's like, wait a minute, how are you coaching people? What is it that you're doing with them? Therapy, but you don't have the education, Monica. So they don't know where to place me. And I don't want to have to explain. I don't want to have to recreate for people who I am, what I'm about, and how I can help them. And the trust level here is located in degrees, and it's located in where you studied and what you did. And sure, if I said, you know, I had certifications from the United States, that could have looked cool for people. But again, it is a different environment, different things are valued, and my experience, my knowledge, my wisdom perhaps would be seen as bigger or more valuable because I've accumulated in the United States, but still, I don't have degrees from Polish universities. I don't have degrees and double masters and God knows what else. And so a lot of folks would be very cynical when it comes to my knowledge. And of course, this is generalization, but I do not want to put myself in this environment with my profession. It's just not the people whom I want to be helping. I also was not here for the last 20 years. Therefore, I'm not really familiar with what's relevant. Even for folks who perhaps could be the same people from the same level that I have in the United States, but I don't know what's relevant for them. I haven't been around them. I don't know the pop culture. I don't know the culture. I don't know the... Of course, I speak the language and I grew up in the 90s and 2000s with these people, maybe not 2000s, but the 80s, 90s and the beginning of 2000s. And I know that, but then there's a big gap and I'm not looking to learn and catch up and find my place here. I already found my place in the world and it is over there. I wanted to say it is in Boston. It's not in Boston. Well, it is. It is. Boston is my favorite place, and Massachusetts is the place where I ended up by accident, but my heart is there still. So that's just something that slips through my teeth. I was not planning on telling you about Boston, but Boston I love. You know, I live in Connecticut right now, and that's that. Let's keep it at that. So another thing, too, that I wanted to share with you from these reflections of being in Poland this time is that... it was a little sad realization. I mean, not new, but I realized that if I was not related to some of my family members, I would have never, ever speak to them because we don't have anything in common. Of course, this is probably common, but I wonder if you've ever thought about it. I have two brothers, and with one we have fitness in common, however a lot of fitness in common, and of course we have a very good relationship. But if he wasn't my brother, I would have never met him. He swims, I don't swim. He does cold plunges, I sit in a hot sauna. He does cardio galore, aka running and biking, and he does races. I don't do any of that. I lift. So maybe if we could have somehow met doing some sports activities, but besides that, you know, we don't really have a ton in common, and I'm not gonna be a friend. I'm not gonna be friends with a married man. If we're not related. So that's that. And then my other brother who lives in England, we literally have nothing in common. I mean, I absolutely love and adore his daughter, but there's nothing that we can talk about that is relatable. He has his world and his job and his way of doing things and his habits that are unlike mine. And then I have mine, my habits, my goals, my values. And it is a little bit mind-blowing. And think to yourself, how is it in your family? And do you have those thoughts also? It is a little bit mind-blowing that we can have the same upbringing, the same parents, the same childhood, which of course it's never the same, but the same values from the parents, the same home, the same town, the same food, the same way of spending time, and yet you turn out so different, so different. So it was an interesting realization, because this time on Sunday, a couple days ago, we were all together here at my parents' house on Sunday afternoon, which I felt so extremely, extremely grateful that this is even possible, because of course I live thousands and thousands of miles away, and these guys live in England and these guys live in Poland, and the fact that we can all meet at my parents' house, just such blessing. I kind of was there, but I also kind of was observing this scene as a fly on a wall, and just being so excited that this is feasible, that this is feasible for me. And at the same time, just thinking, wow, if we were not related, we would have never been sitting here together. And I'm also realizing, and this is something for you to kind of maybe increase your self-awareness around this, and that is, my parents are alive, obviously, and so their home is like a home base. And I know a lot of times what happens is when the grandparents of the family die, the home or the place where all the kids meet disintegrates, and therefore there's no place to meet. And this is one of the reasons, of course, I want to spend time with my family, my parents, as they are still young and living and doing well. But also having that place to come to is huge. So if you're someone who's not making trips to see family priority, whether you live overseas or elsewhere, think to yourself, how many times do you have with your parents? If you see them once a year and they're 70, how many times are you going to see them? Not how many years do you have left with them, but how many visits do you have with them? And respectively, if you are an immigrant, that's even more of a sacrifice because you don't see them at all for years. So think to yourself, can I do something? Can I go travel? Can I see my family? Because if you miss it, it's then too late. My dentist often talks to me about this. She's also Polish, and she immigrated to the United States in her 20s. And she said to me, she worked very hard. She went to school. She did lots of things, but she regrets not visiting her parents when they were still living. And she always says to me, Marka, go, because I'm always going. Coming to visit. She always says, I'm so jealous of you and the fact that you can go and visit them, because I so wish I did it when my parents were living, when my parents were alive, because I kind of thought I had time. And this is something that I always preach to you on social and everywhere, in one-on-one interactions and here and daily on social media, in stories, in reels, in videos. Time is not guaranteed. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. The time is now. Stop postponing your opportunities. Stop talking yourself out of things. The time is now, and you have to start behaving like you do not know where you're gonna die. Because if you constantly are putting things off, you will be disappointed one day, because what might happen is the opportunities that you are putting off might not be available, and the things you want to do later might not be available to you or the person who's offering them, or the circumstance changes and suddenly boom, that's it, no more. So that's that. And lastly, I think the biggest thing for me about this visit here is realizing how much I actually love and adore the life that I've created over the last 20 years. Because the life that I've created took a lot of work from me. However, now I'm so comfortable and so happy and so fulfilled with my life in the United States. I have everything that I wanted to have. I do everything I wanted to do, and I am being the person. Now, actually, I should have said it the other way around, because the creation happens from the other angle, and this is what I want you to take away from today for yourself before we go. When you are looking to create something, whatever it is, because you might be already accomplished, you might already have a lot of things, so it's not like you're creating from ground zero. You might be beginning in some aspect, but no matter where you are, you first have to look and see, who is this person? Who are you? As this person who already has this thing, who are they being? How are they being? Are they committed? Are they diligent? Are they distracted? Are they focused? Are they exercising? First, with the being. And then two, what is it that they're doing? And then three, then they're going to have the thing. So that's the thing. Monica, from back in the day, from nanny days, she was being happy. She was being committed. She was being willing to do whatever it took to create what she wanted. And then she was doing what it required to do. She was working 6 days a week. She was creative. She was being always focused on the big picture. And therefore, now she's having all the things. So that's for you. Who do you need to be? What do you need to do to have what you want to have? Because the being takes you to having, not the other way around. And lastly, before we go, I see this so much in interactions one-on-one with clients. You must focus. Friends, you have to focus. You are too distracted in order to create what you want. Because in order to create what you want, you have to black out the noise. You need to surround yourself with people who are also committed to the same mission. And if you don't have people who are committed to the same thing, you need to be alone. And I know the solitude can be very draining, but you can do what you want to do, and then you'll create a new environment for yourself. I know, I've been there, I've done it. Solitude/loneliness/solitude is an integral part of being an immigrant. But if you look at it from the perspective of like, oh, poor me, I'm alone. Yeah, sure, it's going to be heavy and draining, but you can also see the benefits of it. You can also see how easy it is to utilize all your time, all your energy, all your resources towards what you want to create for yourself and for your life. And even if it's up level for you, that's going to have you then surrounded with other people from that new level, you'll be able to create it. So focus. Please don't waste your time on being distracted with what other people are doing, how they're being, what they're having, when they're better than you, when they're worse than you, and why they're this way and why you are wasting your time. If you're here, you are not spring chicken. 20-year-olds don't follow me. You have lived a chunk of life. You need to focus because you are not guaranteed that you have another 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. You have to focus now. The time is now. If you need help, reach out. At the bottom, in the show notes, you'll see the link through which you can book a consultation with me and we can talk about your goals, whatever the goals might be, fitness, business, life, anything. I'm here to help you. This is my life fulfillment. I've already created everything I wanted for myself in my life. Well, there's two chunks, two little things that I'm working on this year. But work-wise, fulfillment-wise, body-wise, business-wise, I got all the things. I can help you. I have the wisdom, experience, knowledge, and I've made a lot of mistakes along the way, so I can help you avoid those. Reach out if you are ready for that kind of express life up level that you can see around me and around my clients. And otherwise, thank you for being here. I'm sending you lots of love, and I will see you on social media.